I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 103 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. Now recently, Graham attended the Digital Brand Strategy Summit hosted by uTalk, and in today's show, he discusses his findings with Kelvin. All coming up in Internet Marketing.
So yeah, something slightly different today for the Internet Marketing Podcast. I'm joined in the studio by our good friend, Mr. Graham Benson-Hume, who's been on a couple of episodes recently with us. And Graham went along to an event recently, which we're going to be having a bit of a chat about now, which was hosted by our friends at uTalk Marketing. I think it was it their strategy summit?
It was the Digital Brand Strategy Summit.
Ah, cool. And so what we're going to do with Graham is we're just going to have a quick chat about... There were some really great speakers at the event. So some of the key takeaways that you took from that event, some of the things that you found most interesting, exciting, and just generally work through the huge pad of notes I see you've got in front of you to talk through that you picked up on the day.
Yeah, so I do have some sprawling notes here, half a pad, pretty much, of nuggets of
It's good because, yeah, I know the listeners to the show, there's all these marketing events that go on. Some of them are, there's lots of them to keep up with. Some of them are quite expensive. This one particularly had some great speakers lined up. So it's one I was really sad to miss. So, I mean, can you give me the crash course in what it was that you learned during the day then, Graham?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I say, yeah, it's the Digital Brand Strategy Summit with uTalk Marketing. It was all kicked off by Andy Hobswan, who was really sort of the key speaker there, speaking about the current state of digital brand strategy. And I suppose really he kind of set the tone. The whole, really for me, the underlying theme of the whole conference really was about moving from sort of digital tactics into digital strategy. Which I fully agree with. That's a really important point for me, and it was really good to hear it sort of relayed. As I say, really, I'm just going to be going through the pages and pages of notes.
That's good. And I mean, I think sometimes if you go to an event, you can get one or two really good bullet points to take away from a talk. It's been a pretty successful talk from my perspective.
Yeah, I got a lot of bullet points. So I hope everybody's sitting comfortably.
We'll go for it.
One of the main points, as well as this sort of moving from tactic to strategy that Andy Hobswan was making, was really about the end of the information monopoly.
Okay.
That brands and the media used to have. So I suppose his point was before, this social media, is it fair to call it a revolution? I'd say perhaps it is. Before that, really, these sort of larger brands or sort of the media were reaching a large block of the population in one go.
Yeah.
And there's no way for the audience to challenge any of these things. I suppose that's an obvious point. But another really interesting thing was, as well as controlling this information, the costs were actually very high to consume this information. Yeah. So you had to choose what points of contact you are having with the news and with the media. And that, I mean, that really opens up some really interesting sort of points about how that could be mediated or if it was at all. And of course, I suppose the interesting thing now is that everything is now completely consumer facing. So the cost of consuming information is very, very low.
Yes.
You know, in our sort of, what do you call it, culture?
Yeah. And I think it's worth noting as well that, you know, a lot of the, you know, with big keynotes like that, it's kind of worth noting that, you know, as a listener to a podcast about internet marketing, you're already very ahead on that curve, isn't it? To us, it's kind of all very obvious that, you know, what it's, you know, that change is significant. And we're at the, you know, most of the people listening to speak at the, you know, at the very front of that kind of trend. So they're aware of all these changes. But I think it's really, you know, and the whole idea between a lot of these kind of events that I've seen happening recently is that, you know, it's moving from no longer being digital marketing. It's just being marketing now, and digital is just, you know, a big part of that, and it's changing what that looks like. But, you know, all the people who are perhaps the laggards and a little bit behind are all catching up now on that, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, part of that is, of course, that everybody's thoughts or opinions are becoming part of that media and part of your marketing. Like, your brand's marketing is, as you know, their thoughts and opinion as much of your sort of brand marketing as what you're trying to get out there, which is, you know, a really exciting thing. A really quite nice little quote here. Brand isn't what you say it is; it's what Google says it is.
Okay.
Yeah. I suppose, you know, depending on what sort of channels people are talking about you on, you might say now maybe Facebook or
TripAdvisor
it doesn't matter. Yeah. So, you know, so it's really what your online audience say it is. Which was really interesting. And I suppose the point, a way to, I suppose, find a place in that non-linear marketplace is really finding out how you can become part of the flow of that online community. So in some ways, that's instead of thinking like a marketer, this is more like thinking like a publisher.
Okay.
So thinking about what to release and when to release it.
Actually as much as important as kind of it's not about making an ad now, it's about being a publishing business almost.
Yes. Absolutely. And one really nice example, I suppose, in terms of becoming part of that flow, becoming something which users or your the community which surrounds your brand or your industry, becoming a flow of that could, I mean, one of the really nice ideas that we had there, and, you know, we've seen it a lot, is becoming sort of having branded utility.
Okay.
So, for example, Charmin created their clean toilets all around sort of Times Square and the US, and created the toilets map.
Okay.
For example, on, I think it was Google Maps.
Okay.
And, you know, that gets people talking. That becomes part of sort of the, I guess, the psyche of...
Yeah, so because that's clever as well then. So it's exemplifying the brand in some way, because it's the association with, you know, Charmin and cleanliness and toilets, and that kind of the association works there as well. But rather than just being a message or an advert or something that's trying to make that connection, they're actually proving it by producing something useful that people want to use, therefore want to share, want to talk about. And that sharing and talking about is made that much more easier by the technologies and, you know, systems that are in place that have come about via Facebook, Twitter, and, you know, email, and, you know, peer-to-peer communication of all kinds of different types.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose I chuckled under my breath. The idea, I suppose, here is becoming part of that flow to create this sort of long-term relationship. And I suppose being tantamount to clean toilets in your community's mind is probably one of the most intimate sort of relationships you can have, isn't it? So that was a really, really
effective example there that they used at the event.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was the key speech. We were then treated to some research by the IAB.
Oh, so the Internet Advertising Bureau. Is Indeed. That what it stands for?
I'm really, really glad that you got that.
Yeah, three-letter acronyms are always a nightmare for me getting the wrong one, but I do know that one because we've just signed up again as a new member of them again. So,
No, it's one of those things. I've just been calling, it's the IAB, and I just got here. I just read it. I can't remember for the life of me what that stands for. Anyway, so we had there Kieran Matthews and Tim Elkington. Just to give them a quick name drop, talking about, and I was really, really interested in this, the idea of, engagement marketing.
Okay.
So really looking at low engagement versus high engagement. And when I talk about low engagement, I mean, sort of really as, I guess, consumers of information or advertising, I suppose, in this case, we don't have to give things our full attention.
Okay.
To be getting
something from it.
Something from it, absolutely. I think a term memory banking was used.
Okay.
And of course, so in terms of high engagement, that's people really participating in things. Mm-hmm. Low engagement is really just sort of, seeing an advert.
Yeah, so perhaps. That would be an outdoor ad or...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Or even a really interesting point, actually. I really like this. Even having your ad at, say, in the sidebar of, say, Google AdWords. Even if you're not necessarily being clicked on there, you are there.
And that does start to have an impact. That was kind of one of the stats that they were showing, that does have a positive
impact. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, interestingly, and I must admit, I probably didn't make the closest notes on all this because it was all very, very... There were a lot of numbers.
Yeah. There might well be that they've put the presentation up somewhere online or it's a white paper. I'll try and dig that out if we can to add that to them.
Yeah, but it culminated in some of their research showed that for brand A, 6.7% of people who saw the ad at any time did click through eventually.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting point. So I suppose it's just because people don't react immediately, it doesn't mean the advertising isn't working. And I suppose...
So it's the curse of direct response, isn't it?
Yes.
The benefit of all the new advertising metrics is that we're so much, we are so better equipped to measure advertising that, yes, that helps us in one way that we can see who's making a direct response, who's actually taking the action that we want them to do. But sometimes that's not the only way that advertising is having a benefit is kind of what they were suggesting there. Then is that the case?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So, the customer journey isn't linear. And just because basically your online activity is working at least to a level. And of course, different channels work together. There's some really interesting points there. And, they had a lot of really interesting.
Well worth checking out the IAB website. I know that we're trying to do some work with them at the moment and that they have some interesting data, some interesting training events that they put on and all kinds of, as a trade body, I think they do a pretty good job for the internet industry here in the UK.
Absolutely. So next of all, and I feel very aware that I'm skipping over these a little bit. Well, I say skipping over.
I was going to say a whole so day much, worth of event trying absolutely. To break down into 20 minutes. There's going to be some bits that you miss. I think,
there was right, so right. much to take away from it. And it was so much fun. I just want to do everybody justice.
Yeah.
Which I guess brings us on to Cadbury's.
Okay.
And this was really interesting. They're talking about their London 2012 sponsorship and the fairly famous now Spots versus Stripes campaign, which is really, really interesting, actually. This was an absolutely fantastic presentation about Cadbury's looking to stand out from the other sponsors.
Okay.
I think it would be fair to say that, most of the larger brands in the UK, especially now, are sponsoring the London 2012 Olympics.
Yeah, I think if it's not the 2012 Olympics, it's the World Cup and that kind of thing, that like most of the major events, if you distribute out the major brands, there's probably an association with some sporting event of some shape or form, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And Cadbury's, as I say, they're really looking to stand out from the other sponsors with a deeper engagement and sort of an ongoing platform to engage with those customers. So one of the interesting thing that they were trying to find was a sweet spot between sort of Cadbury's and London 2012.
Okay.
And I suppose the main crux of this campaign for them was, I suppose, the message that of the power of playing games to unite
okay.
people, which was a really, you know, that's a really strong stance to start from. So, I mean, apart from, you know, the other issues that they had, they went ahead with this. Like, you know, there are issues like, how are people going to play games like this? How are people going to be scored? You know, it's very self-moderated. We went through that. But the main things that I took away from it, from this particular one, was another nice quote about advertising being like a firework.
Okay.
And digital or engagement is more like a bonfire.
Okay, so yeah, the analogy there being that the TV advert or the traditional advertising can be very effective at kind of triggering the online stuff, and that sometimes actually when you look at the biggest online virals, they've had a bit of a TV nudge to get them started. Is that sort of what they were suggesting?
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose the metaphor was extended. I really like this.
A good extended metaphor.
Yeah, you can't be an extended metaphor. You know, you have a firework display or in this very, very... That's a contrived analogy. We have one firework and we have a crowd for that firework and it's gone and it's amazing and wow. And everybody's impressed and then go home.
Yeah.
Brilliant. With a bonfire or sort of this engagement, people get together around it, you know, and it lasts and it's not quite as sparkly and, you know, it doesn't quite have the same wow factor. But, you know, it's this kind of this thing that keeps on going and it brings people together to get warm and have fun, and that's enough of that analogy.
but a useful one, I think, though. That it's the kind of that when people are putting together a campaign, putting together an interdisciplinary strategy, that, you know, there are going to be certain things that are going to have sudden high impact and that they can sometimes trigger the ongoing, you know, the bonfire in the analogy. But you might not be able to attract many people to your bonfire if you didn't have the fireworks in the first place, I suppose, is to, you know, keep playing about with the analogy there.
Yes, absolutely. And I suppose, I mean, this follows on in some ways. Something that I've always kind of championed, I suppose, in social media especially, is just because people aren't participating, just because they don't have that high engagement, it doesn't mean that it's not working.
Okay.
So it's not so much of a numbers game. And I suppose one of the most valuable things there is knowing that, or people knowing that people like them are participating rather than having to participate themselves.
Okay.
And that, you know, that gives people a much closer, or gives them the feel of a much closer relationship with that brand. Just because, as I say, people like them are
so just because someone themselves isn't necessarily involved in a social media campaign, the fact that they can see other people like them involved in that social media campaign will also have a positive influence on their perception of that brand or the perception of the organisation that's, you know, partaking in that marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose as an aside, in many ways, that's how I sort of approach social media myself, you know, kind of going through sort of all the reams of blogs and, you know, the fantastic content out there. And in a lot of cases, there are a lot of people just like me making the same comments as I'd be making.
Yeah.
And I suppose...
then you're less likely to make those
like
comments.
I need to be making those comments. You know, I don't feel like I need to be participating because I know that somebody is there sort of, you know, making my points.
Yeah.
And, you know, that, and I go back to, I probably go back to those blogs much more regularly than perhaps blogs which I don't necessarily have.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
People representing me on?
Yeah.
Even if I'm making those, you know, actually participating myself. That's, I don't know, interesting aside.
No.
For me, a bit of self-exploration there, actually. It's a... one of the sort of main points of how Cadbury actually got the, how to put it, kind of came together with the actual strategy ideas, like the actual implementation, was instead of coming up with lots of ideas in a room somewhere and, you know, mulling over them for years and years, they wanted to get things started quickly. So they really started with the influencers and kind of really, really wanted to get people who actually made games involved.
Okay.
In the campaign. So it was a very, very public thing. And as part of their outreach, they did speak to a group of game makers, which really started, you know, it gets the core audience, I suppose, in some ways, involved at a very, very early stage. And I suppose one of the really nice things about that is where you can either be a perfectionist for years, you know, niggling and having board meetings and, you know, really just dragging your feet and just trying to get something perfect. You can, with this sort of strategy, with actually getting the audience to do these things for you in some ways, enabling them to do that, you kind of just get to make something and see what happens.
Yeah. I think marketers developing that, let's get it out the door, see what people think and refine from there is a difficult step to make for a lot of people. It's kind of, they'd rather spend ages refining something and sending it out there and making it perfect from their perspective. Whereas what this is, I suppose, is suggesting is that in Cadbury's case, this worked quite well. And I think generally it probably works for most businesses, where actually sometimes you're better off kind of trialing various ideas, seeing which ones take off, then reinvesting your time in the ideas that take off and the campaigns that work and kind of building from there. Absolutely. Rather than throwing everything into one idea.
Absolutely. I wrote a quick blog post, if I may speak about that, about sort of agile methodology marketing. And that's really sort of that iterative approach.
Yeah.
And I think that can be really valuable. And I suppose, to put it really succinctly, acting small is okay, even for Cadbury's. You know, I think acting small and agile and, you know, getting out there and finding out what works and making that happen is much more important than just sitting around talking about it. So, really, they let go. They let go and they let people play with their brand. And, you know, it's worked really, really, really well for them. Final point there that they made was, not everything that counts can be counted. I think it's probably a famous quote somewhere along the line. I think it is sometimes important to realize that you can't always measure everything that's important. I don't know, maybe I should justify that a little bit better, but I think we're starting to run out of time probably. So moving on to, I suppose, one of the most exciting speakers, Dominic Allen from Google UK.
Okay.
Was speaking about an absolutely fantastic project called Connected Kingdom, which you can find at connectedkingdom.co.uk. And it was really, it was a report scoping the size of the internet economy in the UK. And there are some fantastic figures there. Looking at, say, there was £4 billion spent on advertising, online advertising, in the last year. And the total internet economy is worth around £100 billion.
Blimey, that's...
which is outrageous, really.
Yeah.
I suppose one of the most exciting things, though, and I think there are a couple of little gasps in the audience, which is quite nice. The UK actually has the highest internet expenditure in the world.
Okay. Oh,
currently, we're really sort of leading that at the moment. And we're really looking by 2015... we're looking at the internet really being, say, around 10% of the GDP.
Which is a lot of money in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah. It's outrageous. Yeah. Have I got a particular figure here? I mean,
Well, no, it's hard billions, to get your head around kind of billions and billions and more. 1 billion is more than 2 billion. But effectively what that's saying is then that 10% of all the money that is spent by anyone, any business, anywhere is done kind of online.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Ah, yeah, well, and it's, you know, it's, and it means that, you know, 10% of the marketing in the world that should be done is, you know, should be done online, as it were, in some shape or form. And when you think about the millions and millions of pounds that's spent on TV, on outdoor, on sponsorships, that, you know, is that, is, does it online and its various subsectors really get the ownership of that it deserves? I think it probably doesn't, which means that, you know, now's not a bad time to be working in a digital marketing agency, working in a digital marketing department, being a digital marketing specialist, is it?
Absolutely. So I mean, we'll leave that. Although I mean, there was so much to go through. But if you, as I say, connected kingdom, .co.uk, have a look, and it's an amazing report. Okay, so moving on to Luke Mugliston. I think that's how you pronounce it.
And yeah, sorry, Luke, if you got it wrong.
Apologies, Luke, if I got that wrong. From Aviva, and
okay, an insurance company for the people that are outside the UK.
Insurance company. He did admit that, you know, insurance companies aren't always the most popular sorts of businesses. But really, they Aviva were looking to build an emotional connection between their customers and insurance.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I mean, the way that they wanted to do it, well, their plan was to join up sort of all of their channels. So, you know, digital and offline.
I think a sensible strategy for a company like that that's spending significant amounts in each channel, isn't it?
Absolutely. With a very simple message at its heart. And I think they did that. They, I suppose one of their sort of points was using vanity for charity.
Okay.
Which is very interesting. And it was, it allowed users to upload photographs of themselves to be wrapped around buildings all around the world. Massive sort of billboards of just people. And, you know, I suppose we all kind of like to see our name up in stars or our pictures on the internet and, you know, quotes of ourselves. And, it, you know, it was very much sort of playing on that. And it was under youarethebigpicture.com. And it was rewarding people, you know, for putting their pictures up and being involved. And it, really the idea was, you know, Aviva was... for these people. It wasn't this big company. It was about the people it was serving.
The customers of it.
Absolutely, yeah. And, yeah, so, yeah, that was really, really successful for them. Again, you know, it's a massive campaign.
So worth having a look at that kind of be the big picture, was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, let me just check. Yeah, you are the big picture.
Oh, you are the big picture.com.
Yeah, I mean...
for an interesting campaign for an insurance company that's, you know, you might not think as being particularly... set up to deal with social as an example of
absolutely
kind of social campaign that's got its one foot on in the old media world but you know starting to make a huge step into the world of digital.
Yeah, absolutely. So which leads us on to RAP RAPP UK who were working with Cancer Research and Race for Life.
Okay.
Which was an amazing.
Seems charities seem to get social quite well, because we were talking a couple of episodes ago about you know, Movember and prostate cancer, and so the Cancer Research Race for Life, which is kind of an event that takes place in the UK, was used kind of here as a case study then, is that the,
Yeah, absolutely. And really, this was about data. So, you know, we're talking about, sort of the data of the clients or customers or the really the people getting involved in Race for Life and social media. So looking at ways, really started off looking at emails and sending out quite sort of static emails to begin with. Mm-hmm. About the Race for Life events. So, you know, okay, there are Race for Life here, all in one email. They did a little test, and they tested a static email against a data-driven email. So a data-driven email, of course, is fairly or at least more tailored to the individual.
Personalised in some way, shape, or form.
And they were looking at, on the static content, they were looking at an open rate of around 46%,
which doesn't sound too bad.
Not too bad. Yeah. Data driven, actually 45, so very, very slightly. Slightly less there, but in terms of click rate.
Okay, so that's the positive action, not someone opening an email is one step, but getting them to click through.
Yes.
To the site is the ultimate.
Well, that's the whole thing, isn't it? The click through on the static content, it was 21%.
Okay, so not again, bad, not terrible. Not bad. No.
Yeah. On the data driven, it was 82%.
That's which is huge difference, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard of a conversion rate quite that high in this sort of direct email.
But it shows the impact there of personalizing your email, and I think that's a key takeaway for anyone listening. Really, is that what that's showing is that a big charity with a big list. Yeah, okay, maybe not everyone's got a list that big, but if you can personalize your message in your email marketing in some way, shape, or form, it's going to have a huge impact. Maybe not on the people who open it, but on the people who actually, once they get it open, and then make that step from the email to actually visiting your site. That the personalization can have a huge part to play in the ability to drive that action.
Absolutely, and I suppose it was quite technical, you know, that there was, this is really this is very much the future of
email
marketing, without a doubt. Went on to create absolutely, how would you put it? Absolutely personalized emails.
Okay.
So everything was based around, the user it was being sent to. So for example, it would have, exactly their location, based on any of the any personal details they'd sent to Race for Life before. They would use that information, and the conversion rate, the overall conversion rate went up from 15% to 33%.
Again, big changes.
That's huge. Just one step further, in fact, and I admit that I hadn't really heard about this being done before.
Yeah.
They started going on to do social sharing, which allowed people to send emails from their sort of Race for Life page, say, or from the email that they were sent to other people.
Okay.
Which would be sent to the recipient. And it would be 100% personalized for the person who sent it and for the person who was receiving it. So instead of the brand or, you know, the charity sending that information, it was the user.
Okay.
And to extend that outrageously, they started to create dynamically generated Twitter links, which would go through to users' pages. And then they created these Facebook page links, which actually created a data page in the background for the user who had sent the share, as it were. And and then Facebook used that information to create a personalized Facebook page for that runner.
Okay, so some really complicated personalization going on there, but showing the like. Yes, they've got big budgets here. Yes, ECRM works very well for them. But, you know, the limit of the personalization you can be doing here is only kind of limited by your imagination, really. Yeah.
It really is. And, you know, I struggle to even describe it very well, sort of succinctly. So, in the end, the Facebook results were opened by a huge amount of people, you know, shared around. It was a really, really successful campaign. The messages... across, as I say, were built in real time and personalised. So what your friend saw was from you, not from the brand. Fantastic, absolutely fantastic campaign. Which leads us again to, and how are we doing for time?
Because we're at about half an hour or so now. So yeah, if we how many more have we got on the
goodness
couple of talks?
What we might do,
I think, is because it's been clear that there's so much that's going on from this UTalk event here. That if people are really interested to hear more about this, do let us know in the comments. And what we can do is me and Graham can sit down and kind of go through the rest of the day and the ones that were. That went on there and maybe do a bit of a follow-up episode. But I think even just from the episodes we've covered here, Graham, I think the talks that we've covered here, I think we've got some real great insights there and some key takeaways, I think, for me. One is that personalization is really, really powerful in increasing conversion rates, and you should be exploring that not just in email but also in social media. Involving your audience in the decision-making process in your marketing improves it in the way that Cadbury's did.
Absolutely.
That you should try and get, try lots of ideas and not be too precious about them. And that was a lesson there. That the internet is huge in the UK, and it really, really is. And digital is actually starting to no longer be about digital. It's just being the preserve of proper marketing and proper marketing departments, proper, maybe not the right word, but all-round marketing. So digital is not going to be kind of a discipline in its own right. It's going to just be part of what's going on there as well. So really interesting event there from UTalk Marketing, and we'll maybe revisit in a future episode some of the additional bits that were covered there, and generally a good event from your perspective, really.
Absolutely. I mean, part of me, I'd love to go on. I know we don't have time, but we had Tim Brooks, the managing director at Guardian, joined with Justine Roberts from Mumsnet. With James Satteri from Greenpeace, and John Mortar, who ran the Rage Against the Machine Christmas #1 campaign, in a panel, which was fantastic. We had Gemma Mahoney from Redan looking at converting likes to loves. It just went on and on. And then in the end, we had one of the top sort of Microsoft guys going through really what the future is of digital. And there's a lot more to speak about.
Cool. Well, no, I mean, hopefully there's been a really useful half hour or so for people, kind of as a rundown of what was a really interesting event organized by our friends there at UTalk Marketing. And hopefully some good lessons learned for people there.
I hope so.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.